And then the MCS properties and its spatiotemporal distribution. And finally, my future work and research plan for the coming months. So MCS, past studies have shown that MCS account for, like, the frequency of MCS is less than like 15% of total precipitation feature, but they contribute more than 50% of rainfall, total rainfall in tropics. So by contributing so much in precipitation, they also contribute to latent heating and thereby drive the general circulation. MCS also contribute to the energy budget through like radiative effects and they are comparable to rest of the clouds put together. And MCS is also known for their severe weather damage, including flooding. So in the past, people have looked at MCS properties using infrared brightness temperature, but there are certain limitation with such studies. One is that IR cold cloud top temperatures may not be precipitating. They might have like anvil that's not precipitating, and this will affect the statistics in terms of producing a MCS with a larger area, or MCS might be living longer, but actually there is no precipitation, but it is just a anvil cloud, and hence the lifetime might be longer than actually what it was. So this is a figure from Shantou's database tool. On the left is the IR brightness temperature, on the right is the trim precipitation radar. You could see the dotted line is the swath of the KU band radar. You could see that only at temperatures even below, like close to less than 235, is shown in yellow. So only part of the area is precipitating. Then there are other places which are colder, but there is no precipitation that you could see under those cold temperatures. So one of his articles, he quoted this statistic that only 35% of the IR cloud tops colder than 235 Kelvin had precipitation, so rest were not having any precipitation detected by trim radar. So the other in the past, this is showing the limitation of using IR, but in the past, a lot of good statistics about MCSs and other precipitation system came out of trim data. One is so but the trim data also had a limitation because the MCSs that it sampled was restricted by the swath width, so it cannot see a system bigger than that, and also it provided only a snapshot which may not provide certain properties like lifetime or it's a track of a MCS, something like that. So for my research, I'll be using an iMerge product. It's a very recent global precipitation product from NASA. It's available every 30 minutes at 0.1 degree resolution. So the way iMerge creates this global precipitation is by stitching together the passive microwave observation from a constellation of satellites. So you could see in the image that there are these swaths of passive microwave sensor, the different sensors, but they don't provide a complete coverage. There is there are gaps between those swaths. So those were filled by time morphing algorithm in iMerge. Time morphing is something similar to morphing two images. So that's how it achieves a global precipitation product. So Now, strengths of the iMerge is that iMerge is less affected by non-precipitating anvil because it uses passive microwave brightness temperature that is that reflects the that is dependent on the column ice and liquid water content, so they are less affected by just non-precipitating anvil, and they don't have like a swath restriction. The time morphing helps fill the gaps. And third, obviously, like, it provides all Lagrangian properties like lifetime propagation speed and its track. So before we use this iMerge to look at the MCS properties, we looked at how well it represents MCS and its properties. So for that, we use a case study from a field program called Convective Processes Experiment. It was a NASA sponsored field program that happened in May to June 2017 over Western Atlantic, Gulf of Mexico and Caribbean Sea. So here I'll be presenting only two case studies. So the first one will be from June 6th, where the DC-8 aircraft investigated a convective line over Gulf of Mexico. So the figure here shows the time series of the MCS growth that was observed. So all these MCS properties were computed from iMerge precipitation field. So we have a maximum rain rate within the MCS and rain volume expressed as volumetric rain rate and the area, precipitation area. So the key point one should look for is that when you look at the time series of the maximum rain rate, which is shown in this blue dotted line, we could see that it reaches it peaks to a value about 80 millimeter per hour when there is a passive microwave observation. So these labels on x-axis are the passive microwave sensor name. So we could see exactly close to the passive microwave sensor observation, the maximum rain rate peaks, and then it drops between those observation. So then, looking at the second case study, this is from June 10th, 2017. There was a small MCS observed over Western Atlantic offshore from Florida. So this is the figure on the left. You have the image from forward camera, and this is the IR brightness temperature overlaid with the aircraft track, and this is the aircraft track for the last 1 hour, and this is the aircraft position at 2030 UTC, and the arrow is the direction in which the aircraft is pointing to. So these lines are field of view for the forward camera. It kind of tells where the camera is looking or what's the area that we are viewing here. Figure C is the pilot's radar. We could see that there is a strong reflectivity to the right of the aircraft location, which is here, but directly ahead there isn't any widespread reflectivity or something. However, iMerge is showing that aircraft is going to enter this region of light precipitation, but all the other data, including IR, doesn't show any widespread convection or precipitation. So this is kind of shows that the precipitation area at this time step is not correct, and this area is spurious. This is a time series of the same MCS tracked over this period from 16 to 2 UTC, and close to like 20 UTC, you could see the area of this MCS growing actually three times its previous value. So the aircraft observation is actually around 20-30 UTC, and we know this is not, this is a spurious area and it doesn't exist actually. So so this growth is something unrealistic, and it is not not supposed to be. So we worked with iMerge team to figure out what is going on and why that happened. There are more details that is discussed in the manuscript why that happens, but I will just go over it briefly. So as mentioned earlier, iMerge uses passive microwave observation when available. So at 1930 there was a passive microwave observation, and at 23 UTC there was another passive microwave observation, but at the intermediate times there was no passive microwave observation. So the time morphing algorithm was trying to morph between these two values, the top left and bottom right images. So what it did was it just made an overlap of these two observations. So but it uses certain weights to estimate the actual values, but the area remains almost the same. So that's why there is a sudden jump from this time step to the next time step. But actually the MCS might have grown at much later time step, maybe around 20-22 UTC, or yeah, we could just guess, but not at 20 or 20-30 UTC. So to summarize, iMerge kind of creates sometimes creates a spurious precipitation area, and the maximum rain rate is not reliable when there is no passive microwave observation. But we also observe that this is not always present. Looking at other case studies, and even I'm comparing these two case studies. So how do we proceed with iMerge if we want to study MCSs? So from these two case studies, from the time series, we could see even though the area jumped unrealistically, the rain volume increased only by a small percentage. And there was a steady growth from this point on. So same with the June 6th case, there was a steady growth in rain volume rather than area, quick changes in area. So rain volume would be more appropriate parameter to define a growth or a decay of an MCS rather than using a conventional a definition of area-based growth and decay. The spurious precipitation that we saw can be remedied to an extent, because from that observation or the case study, we could see that much of that precipitation was having a low rain rates. So having a higher threshold might remove some of those precipitation area. So one way like to determine this threshold is like I looked at the occurrence, precipitation occurrence, comparing passive microwave and morphing, and between like when 0.1 millimeter per hour is used as a threshold, we have like 35% more occurrence of rain in morphing compared to passive microwave. But this could be seen as a difference in the median or the peak between morphing and passive microwave. But if the threshold is increased to 1, the difference is actually reduced so much. So we but this is not very objective, but still it's more like a subjective choice, because increasing it further reduces the difference further, but we are going to stick with 1 millimeter per hour, and not to use the instantaneous maximum rain rate, but instead use mean rain rates from the MCS. These issues will be remedied in iMerge version 7, where they are going to use a algorithm to fix these issues, and that is already been submitted as well to Journal of Hydrometeorology. So the next so this part, strength and limitation, will be first part of my dissertation, and this work is already been submitted as a manuscript to Journal of Hydrometeorology, and it's under review. So the second part of my dissertation would be focused on tracking MCSs in iMERGE and generating MCS properties from these tracked MCSs. So some of the challenges that we faced when trying to figure out how to track MCS in iMERGE is that there are precipitation bands that is very common in ITCC, like the one you could see here. This band is approximately like 10 degree wide, but this is more like composed of multiple MCSs rather than the single system by itself. So we want the tracking algorithm to identify multiple MCSs within this band. So that the second another challenge is that iMERGE precipitation product is it comes from like multiple passive microwave sensors that have different resolution and sensitivity, so that kind of affects the precipitation field. Like the figure here shows an precipitation of a MCS at the subsequent time step. The first one is from Sapphire sensor, and the second at the next time interval it's from SSMIS passive microwave sensor. So but we could see how two sensors create a different cellular structure within the same MCS. Sapphire has a resolution close to like 10 kilometer, and SSMIS has a resolution close to 55 kilometer. So one way to overcome this is to use a smoothing. So we apply a smoothing of 0.5 degree, which is approximately close to 55 kilometer, which is close to the resolution of SSMIS. So even after applying smoothing, we could see that still the Sapphire sensor has these cellular structure within it. So this is like this creates a problem when we wanted to identify MCS, which I will discuss in the next slide. Before doing that, I want to introduce about the tracking algorithm. We use forward in time tracking algorithm. It uses two parameters called cascading threshold and separation distance. So cascading threshold is nothing. It is nothing but a sequence of precipitation rate thresholds. So that thresholds are used to define different regions of precipitation. Like for example, if the figure here shows two types of precipitation area, the one that is darker is a higher precipitation rate, and the one that is a lighter shade is the lower precipitation rate. So there are two regions of higher precipitation rate which should be identified as a core area by the algorithm. And what the algorithm would do is then iteratively grow by one pixel. So you could see in this second image, this core area is growing by one pixel, and so is this core area. So what happens through multiple iteration, they grow and they kind of become a much bigger object. So this blob of precipitation actually has now two objects or two MCSs. So this is what we want iMERGE. This is one we want for iMERGE because of the problem I mentioned earlier here about the precipitation band. We want to identify multiple MCSs within a huge precipitation band, huge precipitation blob, I should say. So the second parameter is a separation distance. This determines how to handle a split and a merger. So sometimes we have MCSS that is splitting into smaller objects, smaller blobs, and then they may merge again. So when they split, how should this broken smaller blob should be treated? Should it be a new MCS by itself, or should it be considered part of this because maybe it might merge later? So the distance will tell how far the separated blob can be to be considered part of the MCS or not. So that's the parameter, separation distance. So coming back to this, there is a problem or a puzzle to solve here, which is that we want our tracking algorithm to identify multiple MCSs within a precipitation band, but we don't want the algorithm to break a single MCS into multiple objects because it is having multiple cells. So the thing is that it should identify multiple MCSs in a band, but it should not break up a single MCS because it is having multiple cells. So the way we overcome this is by using normalization. So after we normalize, actually it makes it easier to identify a MCS with multiple cells as a single object. So in this example, you could see that using a direct threshold of 1 millimeter, 3, 9, 27 millimeter per hour kind of breaks this MCS into multiple objects. But we don't want that to happen. So after this MCS is normalized, through normalization process, actually, we kind of divide the entire precipitation field by the maximum value. So in this case, the maximum value is close to, let's say, 20 millimeter per hour or something. So the entire field is divided by 20 millimeter per hour. So it kind of, the maximum is going to be 1, and all the other values are going to be less than 1. So using that, we use a normalized threshold, which would be like 0.11 and 0.33. And that would create that would identify the MCS much better. So using this normalized threshold, it works for both precipitation band and a single MCS with multiple cells the way we want it to work. So choosing the right parameters is very important, and we tested it with the multiple threshold. So this is a factor 2, which is 2 times 0.25 would be like 0.5. same way it's factor 3, 4, and 5. And this blue line is the conventional tracking, where a tracking algorithm treats a contiguous objects like precipitation band as a single object. Like, so what happens is we could see that there is at least one precipitation band of size like 10 degrees or larger occurring at least once every hour with an eye merge. So we don't want to identify track precipitation band, but looking using cascading threshold, we could see that number of such large objects occur very rarely, at least two orders less compared to conventional method. And within those large objects, we identify more mesoscale object, which is like 2 or 3 degrees wider, and that's how cascading threshold is very useful compared to conventional tracking method. And when it comes to separation distance, we tested with these 4 values, and the larger the distance, we don't want much larger separation distance, because a certain blob that is so farther away should be treated as MCS. So we were like trying to choose either 1 or 2 degrees as a separation distance. So through manual testing, we narrowed down the optimal parameters to 0.11 and 0.3 and 2 degrees, which required like manually looking at the animation of a tracking, how did tracking do for these this combination of parameters. That's what manual testing involved, and finally decided on these values. So using so far I have discussed how we are going to track MCSs in iMerge and what are the optimal parameters for a tracking algorithm. So using those optimal parameters, James created a database called Tracked iMerge Mesoscale Precipitation System. We call it TIMS, for the tropics, global tropics between 30 north to 30 south, for the period 2015 to 2019. We might extend this for more years later. So we use the same pre-processing and tracking parameters we discussed earlier. We apply a smoothing and then apply a threshold of 1 mm/h, and then apply a cascading threshold and a separation distance, and track the MCSs. So within iMerge there could be precipitation objects of different sizes, but we want to restrict the data only to objects that we define as MCSs. So this is our MCS definition, which is that like the precipitation system should reach a size of at least 3000 kilometers square or more during its lifetime, and it should live for 6 hours or longer and have a maximum precipitation rate greater than or 10 mm/h at least once during its lifetime. So based on this definition, we create a data set of MCSs and save them as an individual file with all its properties, including rain volume, area, a lot of other properties that could be added even later. So using this tracked MCS database TIMS, I looked at the MCS rainfall contribution as well as its frequency. So the figure here shows the iMerge annual precipitation on the top panel, and then the MCS annual precipitation. We could see that MCS annual precipitation is almost close to the iMerge annual precipitation, and the contribution is somewhere between 60 to 90% comes from MCS. One of the a strange or very puzzling thing that I noticed was that the frequency of MCS was greater than 50% the previous studies have shown that the MCS occurrence is less than 15% compared to other trim precipitation feature. But I think the reason for this difference is that trim precipitation feature is based on trim precipitation radar, which has a very which can detect shallow convection or shallow precipitation, like from warm cloud precipitation, and it can also detect a much narrower convection. Like it has a I think 5 kilometer of a spatial resolution compared to iMerge sensors that can go up to 55 kilometer. So iMerge and the passive micro sensor used in iMerge is actually detecting only a wide or large size system, as well as the system that are deeper, because only the deeper system will have high scattering signatures. So iMerge mostly, the annual iMerge precipitation itself is a representation of maybe a much deeper and a larger convection compared to trim precipitation feature. Hence the MCS frequency is much, much higher compared to trim precipitation feature database. So I also looked at the frequency distribution of MCSs based on size and lifetime. and we could see that precipitate overall over the tropics, MCSs contribute close to 75% of the total rainfall. IMerge annual precipitation, and we could see that the maximum contribution comes from systems that are reaching size up to 10 to the power 5 kilometer square. And most of the MCSs that we have in the TIMS database, actually nearly 50% of them have a lifetime less than actually 9 hours. So 50% of TIMS MCSs are having a lifetime less than 9 hours, between 6 to 9. So far in the last section, I described like the objective tracking and the MCS properties that I have worked on so far. In the coming months, I plan to do a few things related to this MCS properties. One would be the looking at the propagation speed and the direction as well as the track, because that's something that's unique with the IMerge product. The other properties I might want to look at is the relation between the MCS properties itself, like the correlation. Like I could try between the size and propagation speed, which would be interesting, most interesting of all three listed here. And later maybe I want to look at the MCS properties over different tropical regions, because different regions have different environmental condition or climate. So that has really a big influence on MCS properties in terms of size or rain volume, or it could be even the propagation speed. Like for example, we know over land MCSs propagate faster compared to ocean, like because of cold pool is stronger over land compared to ocean, and that might create a density current and make MCSs propagate faster over land than ocean. So that would be very interesting to see. So this list of MCS properties would be like the second part of my dissertation. And for third part, actually, I plan to compare the MCS properties from IMerge with the high resolution models. I looked at two high resolution models. One was under CMIP6. It's a high resolution model intercomparison project. Most of the model had a resolution of 50 kilometers and they did not have any trackable MCSs, in the sense when I looked at the animation of the precipitation field from these models, there was no coherent object moving across the domain. Instead, it was like a random precipitation everywhere. So I decided maybe probably I will not use CMIP6. I also looked at the another global high resolution convection permitting models under this Diamond intercomparison project. So they have a global storm resolving model with a space resolution of less than 5 kilometer, and they have a cumulus parameterization turned off. There are like 9 models with the simulation from August 1st to September 10th. I'm planning to choose these listed three models, SAM, FV3, and GEOS, to look at the track MCSs in these models, probably for the same 5 years. But what I'm interested is in to look at the MCS properties and compare it with IMerge. So I'll be tracking MCSs in these three model outputs and compare it with the IMerge. in terms of properties, I might look at size distribution to duration and propagation, all the properties that I could compare. So previously there was work done by Bjorn Stevens where he just looked at the zonally and temporally average precipitation and compared it with the GSMAP. GSMAP is the Japanese multi-satellite precipitation product. It is similar to iMERGE, and at least close to tropics, we could see that that GSMAP and these models have similar precipitation. So I felt that maybe comparing the MCS properties might provide more insight how well these models are doing rather than just looking at the average precipitation. So I didn't have much time to look at all the models and see if I could track objects nicely in those models. But preliminary analysis was like kind of was not very encouraging, but still I could see some objects moving around. So this is the animation from iMERGE. We could see precipitation moving across the domain. There is a very focused area of precipitation and then it's moving across the domain. This is a precipitation field from System for Atmospheric Modeling, SAM. So there are systems moving around, but they are much smaller than what you would see in iMERGE. They are like in iMERGE we have a huge system moving across very nicely. Here we see small system moving, but they are kind of merging and splitting and merging very quickly. But there is a nicely moving MCSs from the land, like this one, which is nicely captured in this model. But over ocean, it is still really hard to see a single MCS, huge MCS tracking across or translating across the domain. So this is the animation from another model, FV3, Finite Volume 3. This is from GFDL. Here also like there is we could identify MCS as moving over land, but over ocean very slight, but still we could see a small movement here. This is a little better than SAM. I haven't looked at the GEOS model yet, but yeah, so I have like a few options I want to put forward to the committee and ask their opinion. One is to I want to run the tracking algorithm on these model outputs and see how it does, and if it is not encouraging, then probably I should look for other options how to go about it. So one was to just like I talked about the MCS properties over different tropical oceans, which I could expand on and make that as a third part of my dissertation. Or I could still compare these models in terms of not as a MCS properties, but still I could compare it with iMERGE in terms of other things like precipitation rate distribution or diurnal variability or like seasonal variability. I cannot do seasonal variability with Diamond, but maybe with CMIP6. Diurnal variability with Diamond models. So these are the timelines I have. I plan in the next 3 months I plan to finish the spatial temporal distribution of MCS properties and submit a manuscript to a journal. And after, like from August, I plan to work on tracking. If tracking seems to be promising, I will work on that and compare with iMERGE the MCSs, the properties of simulated MCSs versus observed MCSs. And close to December, I'll start writing my a dissertation, and probably I will defend in the beginning of next year. So out of this research, I expect to have at least 3 publications as a first author. The first one is already submitted and to Journal of Hydrometeorology, and it's under review. The second one would be about the objective tracking of MCSs and the MCS properties, and the third one would be the comparing simulated MCSs in global high resolution models compared to IMERS. Yeah. So thank you.